Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest installment of our new Chasing the Word series on the book of Ecclesiastes. What is it about that book? It's an aggravating read in good times, and it's a comforting read in challenging times. Friends, these are definitely challenging times, so I hope it is a comfort to you to study along with us in this important book, even as it can be so difficult to pin down exactly what God's trying to tell us through the words of the king. There's no pat answers here, but we promise a genuine, passionate pursuit of the hidden God in these pages. Thanks for joining us today. I think it's Chasing the Word Together time. Welcome back to the microphone.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
We've been working our way through the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to take a second, though, again, to remind people why we even do this. Mm-hmm. This is a project in you and I learning how to work the Word together and to work our relationship through the Word. Let God talk to both of us at the same time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as a married couple, it's something we would do together to reinforce and build our relationship in Christ. It's a great thing to do as a couple's study. This book or any other book, of course, if you do a certain kind of methodology, which is to seek God first and to seek each other as well. And in that process, hopefully learn a whole lot more about the scripture than we would have by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's also a good process to go through with a good friend, a regular Bible study or a small group. It's just a good way to go through scripture, just verse by verse, talking about it, getting insights from the Holy Spirit and from each other. And it does build relationship for sure.
Here's why it's important for us at Compassion Radio. At a time when everyone seems to be screaming very loudly in media, we're trying to be radio unusual. Mm. The kind of people that say, let's just settle down with God and talk about Him and let Him talk to us in a way that's beyond just pulpit preaching, beyond just politics, to get at the heart of what it means to be in the body. Mm-hmm. Our family is part of the body of Christ. It is a unit within the body of Christ. So it's our best place to do our own experimenting, to grow together spiritually. As you're listening to this radio program, let it be a challenge, mm-hmm. not just a teaching time for you. Think about what God might be saying to you about these scriptures and speak it back to Him. Yeah. If nothing else, tell Him what you learned in His Word even today as we talk about the scriptures. That being said, let's jump right back into chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. Now, we're going to have Sandy read it in a traditional translation. In this case, it's the Holman Christian Standard Version. It is now the most famous chapter, the most famous passage from the most famous chapter in the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. We're beginning chapter 3. Go ahead.
Chapter 3, The Mystery of Time. There is an occasion for everything, and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
It's one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, not just the book of Ecclesiastes. We find ourselves in extraordinary times right now. We'll talk about the kind of things we're in, but I want to ask you, first of all, hon, is it always just a binary? I mean, it seems like it's this or that. The whole section of this chapter of Ecclesiastes seems to be saying it's one thing or it's another thing, one of two things. You think it's what it's trying to say?
Well, I don't know what it's trying to say for sure, but in my experience, no, it is not one or the other. I think you can be in multiple seasons at the same time. I mean, we have experienced a time to laugh and a time to cry this week. You know, I feel like we've experienced both of those things simultaneously. I look at this list and I think we're going through all of this right now. Yeah. There's so much about what's happening, especially in our country right now, and in the last 3.5 months, that is right here in the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes 3.
there's that kind of depressingly ironic saying of, I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah.
Kind of a twist on the scripture, that there is a time for crying, there's a time for laughing, and sometimes they seem to be both at the same time.
Yeah.
That expression, I don't know whether to laugh or cry, is one of almost despairing confusion.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not one, it's not the other. What is it? What are we going through right now?
Yeah.
We're left with that indecision or that doubt. Is there a time to doubt? That's not mentioned in this list, but do you think there's a time to doubt?
Oh, I sure hope there is, because I've gone through that. I have doubted multiple times in my life.
There are a few things that I've doubted this past year, and I'll name a couple of them. I've doubted that I'll have the fortitude to get through all the changes that this country is going through, our family is going through, with our kids moving away at their ages and having one more at home, in a time when there's not an assurance that we'll all have jobs.
Right.
That applies to us too. We're in ministry, so we are dependent upon the faith and the good graces of those who believe in us to continue doing what we do.
And the generosity.
And the generosity of our partners, of course. We're not sure what God has in store for us during this time of COVID-19 either, but I do know what he has for us today.
Mm.
Today is to be faithful to the thing we're called to do, and that's to encourage you, friends, to be living as faithfully and as bravely as possible where you are, and not to tell you lies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of lies in this world. Anywhere you look around, someone's willing to lie to you.
Sure.
God is never willing to lie.
I think it's difficult for me to think about doubting because it throws up an ugly picture of myself. When I look in the mirror and I see that doubt, it's not a pleasant thing to see that reflection, because I know there have been times I've doubted God. And that's not an easy confession for me to make, but it's true. And I have to remind myself, I have to go through the list of his generous gifts to me. And I don't mean just physical gifts or monetary gifts or tangible gifts. There's all kinds of gifts that I've received from God that are his generosity at work in me. Sometimes when things aren't going the way that I think they should go, or I want them to go, or I hope they would go, I wonder, God, are you really good? Are you really helping? Did you really mean what you said about this or that, or these promises that I read in the scripture? Are they really true? And I think God says, be still, honey. I'm going to show you my word is true and my promises are real, and you can count on me even when you doubt.
Yeah. Sometimes I have doubts is a fair statement for somebody who is pursuing faith. We acknowledge that we don't always think on the same wavelength as God. Does God doubt his plans and his purposes? Of course not, because it's not his nature to doubt, because he knows who he is, first of all. And he knows what his ambition is for his creation, what he is going to work out, why time was even invented for him to be able to work his glory and let it be known. He includes us in as receivers of his glory and pursuers of his mystery.
Mm-hmm.
He decided this. He laid it out in scripture. He laid it out in nature. He made you and I in the time that we live for the purposes that he has and for the purpose of our family.
Mm-hmm.
If God had chosen to put you at some other time in history, I would never have known you. He would have had a different plan, but he didn't. He had this plan.
Right.
So I take that as just something I have to accept.
Yeah.
I can't argue with God about his intentions, about where I am and who I am, but I do doubt sometimes his motive or his attitude toward me. We doubt him. We second guess him does not mean that we are having a dialogue about his methodology, questioning whether or not God really has my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That is the ugly thing we don't want to come across.
Yeah.
We don't want to admit that we are doubting the God who has already said, I am this.
Yeah.
And he's described it. He's shown it. He's demonstrated it. And then we find we're doubting that.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons to me that it is so important, it's vital in our walk with the Lord, in our walk through life, that we stay rooted and grounded in the Word, that we know the Word of God, that we listen to the Word of God, and we pray the Word of God, so that we know what the truth is, what the promises are, and what the foundation of our faith is. Because if we're not in the Word and we begin to doubt, we have no place to go to or nothing to stand on that says this is the truth.
Yeah.
We're floundering. We don't know it.
We're talking about experiencing God for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we know what he does. If you know somebody's integrity, you know their character, then you can make a general prediction about what they're going to do in a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
If we haven't really spent time with that person to know what they're really like, especially under stress, we might doubt their capacity to deliver on the promises they make. And when we transfer that to God, what we're really admitting, I think, is that we really don't know him. Mm. Or we haven't spent the time to get to know him, to know what he's like in these situations. Is God ever flustered? I really think not.
No.
But at the same time, Jesus himself was exasperated. And if he is the divine expression of God in human form, it is not untoward to talk about God being frustrated with us.
Yeah.
We read about him being jealous, being covetous of our time and our attention and our worship. There are all kinds of language in the Old Testament and the New about God's craving of worship from his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's just because it's good for us. He knows that it is. I think he truly enjoys his creatures responding to him.
Yeah.
So God misses out on something when we don't worship him or follow or obey.
Well, it's just like as parents experiencing Mother's Day or Father's Day. We love it when our kids yeah. give us cards or whatever occasions when we've gotten cards from our kids, whether they were little bitty and they're just scribbling on a piece of construction paper or they've actually taken the time to go and buy a card at the store and give us. It always means something very special when we get that from our kids. That is huge to us. I can imagine, not that God is selfish like we are in wanting that praise from our children, but that he receives that glory and it is a positive thing for him. It is a good thing that he receives and he loves that.
And the word says he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But if he wants it, there must be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't get it, mm-hmm. even if we don't understand why he needs it so much or why he desires it so much, he still says, honor me mm-hmm. and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
If for nothing else but for enlightened self-interest, it would be wise for us to worship the God who made us.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't want to stop at self-interest. We want to know who God is so his character would grow in us as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's our biggest hope. And so I think in these seasons we're talking about here, there's time for this, time for that, love and hate, war and peace. I would just leave this section of our program asking you, friends, what season do you find yourself in today? And that list we just read, there's probably a few of them that you find yourself somewhere on that continuum. Take some time to read that scripture yourself and ask yourself, where am I in this?
Yeah.
Am I at war or should I be? Am I at peace or should I be at peace? Where in all of these experiences are we? And there are some in there that are kind of obscure, like there's times to cast stones and times to gather stones. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be throwing stones at people or at glass houses. That's not what the scripture means. We'll talk about that in the next section of our program. We'll come back with a new twist right after this. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion. Well, hon, we talked about the scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, mm-hmm. the times and the seasons, the idea of the ebb and flow, the pros and cons, the befores, the afters, the ups, the downs. There's always some kind of contrast, but it also seems to be in the scripture a sense of balance.
Right.
As I was reading through and translating the scripture from the Hebrew and looking at all the word groups that these things come from, these thoughts, not everything being spoken here that's just a binary. It's not just one thing or the other.
Okay.
It's this thing and all the other things you can imagine within that group, or there's this thing and all the other things you can imagine in that group.
Oh, wow.
So there's a more expansive understanding in the Hebrew, as I've learned, mm-hmm. about what these things mean. It sounds more poetic to us in English to read it as one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it.
Yeah.
Let's explore that a little bit as we read a new translation. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 here. To everything you can imagine, there is an appropriate time. For every event under heaven, an appropriate time. A season of birth and to give birth. A season to die and to let die. A season to plant and to let grow. A season to harvest and to uproot. a season to kill and to kill off, a season to heal and to be healed, a season to break down or to break through, a season to build up or to rebuild, a season to weep or to weep with, a season to laugh with or laugh about, a season to mourn within or wail without, a season to dance or enjoy the dance of others, a season to cast aside stones or throw them with purpose, a season to gather up those stones for another round, a season to hug tight and not let go, a season to let go and long for the next embrace, a season to ardently seek and search until it's found, a season to obliterate so that nothing is left to find, a season to hang on to, a season to throw away, a season to rip apart, a season to repair the tear, a season to hold your tongue, a season to speak your mind, a season to love or to be loved, a season to hate or feel despised, a season to wage war, a season to wage peace.
I think that we could spend a program on each of those verses.
We could. Maybe we should eventually.
I think that's amazing.
Yep. The idea of there being more than one way of looking at the immediacy of your situation is really important. I think the writer of Ecclesiastes captures that well in the Hebrew, although in English it's harder.
Yeah.
The difference between being birthed or to give birth, very different experience for those involved, no?
I think so.
And when you're giving birth to a child, as you would know, as the mother of my four children, there's not just one person involved here.
Yeah.
Birth is about more than one. Yeah. Always is. Mm-hmm. And so is death. The idea of dying alone is not something that the author of Ecclesiastes really gives us room to consider here, because at least God himself is part of this.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of the subtext of this. There's always more than one in each of these scenes. Hmm. And that's what I was coming to life with in my mind. Right. I'm never alone in these thoughts.
It's always a perspective shift.
It is. A season to plant and to let grow. There are two things that are implied in that for me. It's like, yeah, I want to plant seeds, but you don't sit waiting and ignoring that thing for weeks and weeks and weeks. A farmer goes out there and, or a gardener in my case, goes out and hopes. Mm-hmm. You water from day to day. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about those seed even before you see the first seed pop up into a plant. Mm-hmm. Your mind, your heart is always focused on the thing you've planted.
Mm.
And that doesn't get read in English, but I think it's there in the Hebrew. An expectancy that God has in these truths.
It speaks to the next part of it as well, a season to harvest and a season to uproot. A lot of things that we've been doing around the yard and the garden and our farm this spring have been about cleaning up and mowing and chopping down. And
lots of mowing of Texas grass.
Yes, but there is something that you have let grow. And that has been the wildflowers. You know, maybe I'm pushing it here with this or stretching the analogy, but sometimes there is wild growth in our life that we don't know what to do with, that we see it as weeds maybe. But if we turn the corner and look at it as wildflowers, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we can see that there's purpose in it. We may not know exactly what that is or what it's going to be. And the fruit of it may not be long term. It may just be for a season, which is very much so the spring in Texas with the wildflowers. But I think I can see that sometimes there's a time to let those things grow just for the beauty of it.
I thought about that a lot when I was mowing out there. I mean, we have a number of acres where there is wildflowers there. Mm-hmm. There was an overgrowth that got taller. So other weedy kind of things buried it. I couldn't save all the wildflowers individually. I couldn't pick every weed out.
Right.
So it has to be mowed eventually. But there were great patches of sunflowers left that the wild sunflowers down here in Texas grow pretty wild.
Yeah.
And they're very tough to take out, actually. But they're really pretty to look at, too. So we mowed around those, left islands of sunflowers in our field. But while I was going up and down each row, I was able to observe the flowers that were in that area before I mowed them.
Mm-hmm.
I was only going to be able to see them by going through them on foot or on a mower.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to last forever.
Right.
But for that moment, boy, when the afternoon light was just right, my entire mow was full of beauty because I got to see all those reds and purples and yellows and blues and things that were hiding in the grasses there. I enjoy that a lot. I thought about God himself roaming the world and seeing his creation and finding all those hidden beauties that others would pass by every day because it's his joy to enjoy us and to enjoy what he makes.
Yeah.
So I do think God has his eye and his heart on us and on the worlds that he has made. And remembering that God takes joy from the things he creates, reminds me that I'm created in his image. I'm supposed to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard. We all know that we're kind of facing a lot of challenges with our businesses, with our families, with our health, with our country right now that seem too big to comprehend or even to deal with. Mm-hmm. I don't have great answers for us about what to do next other than to say, God knows these things and he wants us to be honest with him. Mm-hmm. Tell him, friends, what season do you find yourself in? And I would also ask you this question. Have you asked God to tell you what season he sees you in? I believe there's real power in actually asking him that question.
Well, and it could be different than what you actually think you're in.
Indeed. But that's our closing thought today. I want to leave it on that. Whatever season you find yourself in, and whatever season God finds you in, the season is meant to be lived and not to be lost. So I encourage you, friends, even if it's a season of mourning or loss right now, make your lament beautiful to God by giving it to him, at least that. And for those of us who have kind of a mixed bag, maybe we have some good things and bad things that are going in our life right now, be honest about that too, and thank God for what can be thanked for. And also for the things that don't seem to be likely to bring about thankfulness or gratitude from our hearts, offer that back to God too. I think there's really beauty in discovering that God himself is eager to take from you even the things you don't think are beautiful.
Yeah.
That would be my challenge to wrap up this week's Chasing the Word series. I hope you come back for more. Next week, we'll go on to the middle section of chapter 3. Thanks so much for joining us.
Wake my soul and sing of him who died for me. And hail the matchless king through all eternity. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power has helped us raise. From pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer. Rain shall know no wind, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, the fragrance ever sweet, yeah, ever sweet. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem. Master's King through all eternity, yeah. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, and ineffably sublime. Oh, hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me.
Sandy and I will continue our discussion on Ecclesiastes on next Monday's program. As we end today, I'd like to highlight again our wonderful resident artist this month, Michael O'Brien. His project, Crown Him, is available to you for your support of Compassion Radio in any amount. Just let us know how you want to support us, and we'll be glad to send you a copy or make a download available to you of this incredible project.
Many crowns.
Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. Let us know you're standing with us and that you're chasing the word together with us. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's brand new music project, Crown Him, available on CD or for digital download. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.